Well, good morning, beloved. It is always a privilege to be able to share communion and to share worship, and we've enjoyed worship, and we have enjoyed the communion, the remembrance of our Lord's sacrifice, and what a privilege, you know, for us to be together. Would you join your hearts in prayer with me, and let's pray. Father, as we continue in worship, we have been blessed this morning by such a powerful reminder through Pastor Larry's opening that we are in submission to the authorities that are over us, both in government, in the church, and in the home. And help us to understand in this day of anarchy and progressive politics and liberalism, what it means to be in submission to the authorities that you have placed over us. And thank you also from the text that Pastor Larry read that, God, you are a nationalist. And sometimes we, in our ecumenical societies that push for unity at all levels and faith matters, but also a kind of politics that seems to downgrade the significance of the national boundaries that you have established. You love all people everywhere. Help us to understand and appreciate the boundaries that you have put in place, and make us a place that welcomes strangers, welcomes the foreigner, but at the same time, help us to understand the significance of our national identity. So Lord, we commit our country to you today, our leaders. We pray for them, not only for wisdom, but specifically that they would come to know you as Lord and Savior. That's what we're to do. We're to pray for people in positions of authority. And we pray for those people this morning. And we ask that your Holy Spirit would bring that conviction that they need the Savior. Just as you spoke to Pastor Larry, what a wonderful testimony that was, as how he became a new creation as he read the gospel and came to faith, and how you added color to every dimension of his life. What a wonderful testimony. And Lord Jesus, as we remember your suffering, your sacrifice for our sins, we praise you and we thank you for this gift of grace. And Lord, we know that our response is to be what you have called us to be, which is true worshipers who worship in spirit and truth. Blessed Holy Spirit of Christ, would you empower our worship? Would you empower our teaching? And would you open our hearts to all that you have for us today, that Jesus Christ might be exalted in every measure? And it's in his name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, this morning, I want to talk to you about letting go and letting God. You've probably seen that bumper sticker, particularly during the 70s, letting go and letting God. Well, that's easier said than done, isn't it? It's a popular slogan, but how do you implement that? How do you step across the line from being self-reliant and really entrusting your life into the hands of an almighty, sovereign, loving God who has your best interests at heart and his greater glory in mind? How do we do that? Well, this morning, I want to address that issue, but I want to read from Proverbs chapter 3. And it's a popular verse. It's a well-known verse. It's one of my favorite verses. And again, it's one of the first few verses that I ever memorized. And that's from Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. But I'd like to read this portion of scripture in context, because I think there's a lot to be gained from this. Proverbs 3, verses 4 through 5, we read, "My son, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your heart." So we have to remember God's commands. We have to keep his commands in our heart, which is the seat of our faith and our devotion. And what's the result? "For they will prolong your life many years," promise of blessing, "and bring you peace and prosperity," a promise of God's provision. "Let love and faithfulness never leave you." bind them around your neck. In other words, keep them close, love and faithfulness. Write them on the tablet of your heart. There's your heart again, the seat of emotion and devotion. Then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man. Another promise of God's blessing. Then verse 5, which we're familiar with, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, one version says acknowledge him. In this version that I'm using, it says submit to him. Submit to him, for he is the ultimate authority. And as Pastor Larry was saying this morning, we're called to be in submission to the authorities that are over us, because there is no authority that is in place that has not been installed by God. And we may be very critical of our politicians, and probably with good reason in many cases. But as Pastor Larry reminded us, we need to have an attitude of submission, and we need to honor the emperor. And by so doing, what we're accomplishing in the spiritual realm is a powerful ministry of prayer on behalf of our leaders. So this really is a wake-up call to submit to Christ, God the Father, the Holy Spirit as our ultimate authority, but to submit to our government, to submit to the leadership in the church, to submit to leadership in the home, and mutual submission one to another. So submit to him, and he will make your paths straight. In other words, he'll provide direction. And then verse 7 says something: do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. What it means is to shun evil or to turn away from evil. And then verse 8, another promise of blessing, of provision, of prosperity. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. I believe that's talking about physical well-being. And, you know, we all suffer with aches and pains, especially as we get older. But I am so thankful for God's good blessing of health in my body and for my wife and my children. So this is the text I want to speak to you about today. And really, it's a simple catchphrase. It's almost cliche to say, let go and let God. And here's the point. God puts promises and dreams in all of our hearts, but God doesn't tell us how he's going to answer our prayers or when it's going to happen. Isn't that true? And too often, if it's not happening the way we thought on our timetable, we get frustrated. We begin to lose hope. Our faith begins to waver. And we cry out, God, when are you going to turn this thing around? When is my health going to improve? How comes this situation at work is not getting better? Or the problems I'm having in my relationship? Or issues with finance? Or like over the last 5 years, we've had an ant infestation in our house. And they were actually living up in the insulation, the foam, the R60 insulation on the roof of our house. And they had found a little place where they could get water. And every spring, these carpenter ants would make their way down into our kitchen cabinets, across our counters, across the floors. And for the span of about 2 months, we would just be in this plague. And we kept praying, God, please, would you spare us from this infestation? Well, that was 5 years. That was definitely not according to our timetable. And somebody referred us to a company called Victoria Pest Control. And we tried other pest control companies, had no success. We called them, they came out. We also had our beloved Bill O'Kell from O'Kell Waterproofing. He came out with his whole team. They rooted out the nest. And since then, we have not had any problems. It's gone. But the timetable was off. Why didn't that happen 5 years ago? There's no easy answers, right? When we're looking for God's provision and it's slow in coming, we ask the question, how comes the situation isn't getting better? And we put God in a box and tell him how to do it and when it should happen. And if it's not working out the way we think, we get discouraged. But once you pray, once you believe, you have to leave how God does it and when he does it up to him. If you put a time frame on it and the method of how it's going to happen, you're going to be frustrated because God's ways are not our ways, right? His ways are higher. We know that verse. He's working when we can't see it. And sometimes it's taken longer because he has something better in store. And one of the best things I've learned is to trust God's timing and trust his ways. What God promised will come to pass, but it may not happen the way you think. It may not be when you have a schedule on your calendar and have it planned. You see, the point is, if you're trying to control the outcome, control the time frame, then you're going to live worried. You're going to be stressed. You're going to be taking a burden on your shoulders that's not yours to carry. You have to release control. Release having to have it happen your way. I mean, this is liberating. God has it already figured out. He knows the end from the beginning, but here's the key. He doesn't give us the details. If you knew how everything was going to work out, it wouldn't take faith, right? The scripture says, as you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. How do we receive? We receive him by faith. Our faith is being refined as pure gold, the scripture says, right? And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And faith is the substance of things hoped for. We want those ant infestations. We want that out of our life. But you know what's greater? We want to discover God's purpose in the midst of that trial, in the midst of that problem. And I know he's speaking to you folks very specifically this morning in areas where you're dealing with issues. And he wants to refine your faith. He wants to grow you. He wants to bring that humility and that submission. You know, he knows the beginning from the end, and he doesn't give us the details. It does require faith. If God told you 3 months from now, a big door is going to open. It looks like you're going backwards, but there's a shortcut that's going to put you ahead. This person is going to show up to help you. You would relax and say, okay, it's all going to work out. Why don't you do that now? Because God is calling us to trust him. He's already told us that he's working all things together for good for those that love him and are called according to his purpose. For he has predestined us to be conformed to the image of his own dear son. He's already told us. But that's very difficult for us to embrace that wonderful truth when we're dealing with a persistent problem that just doesn't seem to go away. The point is that God has it all planned out. He's doing things that you can't see. There are good breaks coming. There's healing. There's favor. The right people. They're already on your schedule. I look when I went through seminary and I was doing a master's program studying Greek and Hebrew, how intense it was. And God brought the right people in to my life at the right time to help me succeed. It was amazing. And even when I wasn't praying, even when I wasn't trusting, even when I wasn't looking for his direction, he was already on it and working everything. I felt so cared for and sometimes really pampered by God. And I said, God, I don't deserve this. I don't deserve any of this. Still don't. But God, in his infinite grace, keeps showing up, keeps working all situations together for my good, for our good, my wife, my children, everything. I mean, Cole could tell you a story about how God has lined everything up for him to move to Burnaby. And yeah, there's more challenges, but it's just another call to begin trusting in a new way. God is saying, release it to me. Release it to me. I'm in control. I'm ordering your steps. I'm working behind the scenes. It may not be good right now, but I'm going to turn it around for your good and my glory. You know, there's a verse in scripture that talks about laboring to enter his rest. And what the scripture means is that when you believe, you enter into his rest. Once you believe, you don't have to figure everything out. You may not see anything changing. You'll be tempted to worry. Stay at rest. Stay at rest. When you're at rest, you're showing God that you're trusting him. And maybe you're believing for your health to improve, but the medical report is not getting better. It's going the opposite direction. You thought it would have happened by now. You could be worried, complaining, but instead, you're thanking God. You're resting in his promises. You're believing for his best. When you're at rest, you're in faith. That's what allows God to work. But if you're upset over what's not changing, worried about your finances, can't sleep because that child's off course, that's a sign you stop believing. You need to enter into rest. Come back to a place of peace. You can't trust God and be worried at the same time. You know, James calls that the double-minded man, right? Who's praying, but really is just waffling, is ambivalent. When you're at rest, you know God's in control. You know he's fighting your battles. You know that he's started what he started, he's going to finish. And another verse that's a favorite of mine that says, we can be confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in us will perform it until the day of Christ's return. You might say, well, you know, Trav, I'm worried about my finances. I'm upset about the medical report. When is this pandemic going to be over? Look around and see our nation in distress. We look at the First Nations and the hardships that they're experiencing over the loss of precious children and the violations of colonialism and the loss of respect for authority and the fires throughout our province and Lillooet and various other places. People who've lost their homes, people who've lost their very lives. There's a lot to be concerned about here. You know what? It's not a surprise to God. He hasn't brought you this far, or our province, or our nation this far, to leave you. Release the worry. Release the frustration. Release having to know all the details. There'll always be situations that we don't understand, problems that look too big, obstacles that seem permanent. Listen, that's a test. That's part of God's refining process. Will you go through life worried, wondering if it's going to work out, discouraged because it's taking so long? Or will you enter into rest? Will you believe that God is in control and that he will get you where you're supposed to be? As I mentioned, my life, I have seen God move me through a whole sequence of events only to arrive at exactly where God wanted me to be. And it wasn't that I was so faithful, I was so obedient, because I wasn't. I wish I was. But God in his grace, God in his mercy, was always able to move me and plant me where I needed to go. And he put me in some challenging situations that were hard, difficult, painful, heartbreaking. And all of the hurt and the betrayal and all that did serve to do was to make me more dependent on him and to bring the humility that I so desperately needed in my life. That's what God does for you and me. You know, sometimes we want something so badly, it can get out of balance. We're not going to be happy unless God does it our way. Remember to place that prayer on the altar of God's sovereignty. Who's the Lord here? Who's the boss? Who wants our best interest? You know, the scripture says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. Now, that's interesting. It sounds like a carte blanche for answered prayer. But what it's saying is we need to be in a submission to the sovereignty that's over us. We need to submit ourselves to the Lord. And we need to turn from evil practice and sin and unbelief. We need to turn from that. And we need to bring those prayers in accordance with his will. His will is revealed in his word. So if you abide in me, my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, it shall be done unto you. That's when we can see answered prayer. Now, remember how Jesus prayed in the garden the night before his crucifixion? Not my will, but thine be done. He looked into the cup. It was the cup of God's wrath against sin. And it was being poured out on him. And he prayed, take this cup from me. I can't bear this. But he submitted his will to the will of the Father. Do you do that? When you come with prayers and you're really asking God for wisdom or discernment, I don't know, Lord, if this is what you want for me, but I'm submitting to your sovereign care. I'm going to bring it before you. I'm going to lay it on the altar of your sovereignty, and I'm going to trust you for the answers as you see fit. This doesn't mean you have to stop hoping or believing or canceling dreams that you may have, but you're releasing control of how God's going to bring it to pass. He may not do it in a traditional way, the way that you're expecting. Anything that you have to be happy, the enemy can use that against you. But when you say, God, this is what I want, but even if it doesn't work out my way, I'm still going to be thankful. I'm still going to be happy. I'm still going to give you praise. That takes away the power of the enemy. What does it communicate to God, right? What does it communicate to God when you say, God, I want this so badly, but you know what? I'm going to release that to you because I know your plan is higher. Your ways are higher. Your provision is better. Hold tightly to your dreams, but hold loosely to how God is going to do it. God knows how to bring promises to pass, but you have to stay open to how it's going to happen. If you're set on having it one way, you're going to be frustrated. God does things out of the ordinary, the unusual, the unexpected. He may not answer your prayer in a conventional way. I want to give you an illustration here. This is a very personal illustration. My brother and his wife were childless, and they longed to have children. And for anyone who has experienced childlessness, you know how deeply painful that can be. Well, my brother and his wife were asking God for the miracle of conception. They prayed and prayed, and nothing happened. Month after month, year after year, and the pain just got deeper and deeper. They looked at a number of different medical technologies, but nothing seemed to work. One day, my brother was walking his dog, a big, lovely, fluffy Saint Bernard, down a quiet residential street when he heard a small baby crying. Sound was coming from a fence backyard. He peered over the fence, and to his amazement, there was a young infant about 11 months old sitting alone on a blanket in the middle of the backyard. He tried to communicate with the child to reassure her everything would be okay. The next day, at the same time, the same thing happened. Once again, he approached the fence, peered over, tried to talk to the child, whisper some words of reassurance and comfort, and then carried on with his walk. On the third day, he heard the child crying the same as on the previous 2 days. Only this time, the mother of the small child came out of the house and asked him if he liked children. He said, yes, my wife and I love children. She asked if he and his wife had children of their own. He replied, sadly, we do not. What happened next can only be described as a miracle of God. The young mother asked him if he and his wife would like to have her child. He was puzzled. He said, what do you mean? She repeated her offer, saying, would you like to adopt my little girl? My brother was in tears. After more conversations, my brother and his wife adopted the first of their two adopted children. God answered their prayers, but he did it in an unusual way. Today, they have not only two full-grown girls, but they have four grandchildren. What a blessing. What an answer to prayer. They didn't see it coming. The scripture says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, right? Now, are you upset about something that's not working out? Let me ask you, have you left it in the hands of God? It hasn't happened yet because God is going to do something better than you think. The delay, the disappointment, the setback, it's not working against you, it's working for you. Release control of how it's going to happen. God is about to do unusual things, out of the ordinary, unprecedented. You're not falling behind in due time. God is going to answer your prayers. What I've learned is that God doesn't always take us down a straight path. Wouldn't you agree? There'll be detours, delays, and curves, those times when you feel like you're going the wrong way. God, I'm believing to go this direction for my future, my healing, my freedom. But I'm going the other direction. I'm in a pandemic. I see bad things happening in our country. I'm seeing just the opposite. Let me remind you, don't get set on the method or the way that you think it's going to happen, because it may not be the way that God's going to do it. When you can't see, when it seems like you're going the wrong direction, there's another turn. It leads to a shortcut that will catapult you ahead. All this occurs according to God's timing, his plan, and his will for your life. My brother was believing for one child and came out with two. That's the way our God is. Where he's leading you is going to be better than you've imagined. The reason it's taking longer is because it's going to be bigger than you thought, more rewarding, more fulfilling. There's going to be greater growth, more transformation, and a greater testimony of his goodness. Doors aren't opening yet. You don't know what God is up to. You can't see what he's doing behind the scenes. People are against you. The trouble hasn't turned around. Your family members are still off course, right? Don't be discouraged by what's not changing. Your time is coming according to God's timetable. And what does the scripture say? They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. The scripture talks about how there's a time set aside for God to bring his answers, to bring his favor, to bring his provision, a set time to heal you, a set time to turn the problem around, a set time to bring that next step in your spiritual growth. The psalmist says he makes all things beautiful in his what? In his time. If there's a right time, conversely, that means there's a wrong time. And if it hasn't happened yet, that means it wasn't meant to be. Listen, instead of fighting where you are, why don't you embrace where you are? God, I know you're ordering my steps. I'm exactly where I'm supposed to be. So, Lord, I want to thank you that my set times are coming. I can promise you, God is not going to be 1 second late. He's not going to accidentally miss your set time. So, I read you the text from Proverbs chapter 3. And there was three key principles in this text. And it's quite simple, but here they are. The first was trust in the Lord, wait on the Lord, and thirdly, look for his direction. Trust in the Lord, wait on the Lord, and look for his direction. Well, it's good to be passionate about our dreams and passionate about seeing healing and freedom and opportunity to serve. But don't be so consumed that you're not going to be happy while you're waiting for God to bring it to pass. Don't put your happiness on hold until everything works out. You see how foolish that would be? You're missing out on the fullness of God today, right now, where you are in the midst of the struggle. Are you worn out? Are you tired? This heat's been pretty oppressive. Some of you are struggling today. Don't put your happiness on hold until everything works out. This day is a gift. Enjoy your life while God is working. Enter into the rest that he's promised. Not uptight, not stressed out. When's it going to change? When are we going to get this problem dealt with? Yes, it's uncomfortable. Yes, it's stressful. you have to pass the test of being happy where you are. The Apostle Paul said, I have learned in whatever situation I find myself therein to be content. Now, was the Apostle Paul in some pretty tough situations? Oh, yeah. In prison, beaten, shipwrecked, flogged. I mean, he had a rough go. I don't know how he could say that, you know? You know, and oftentimes we hear a verse that is misapplied. You've heard it, and when I say it, you'll know it. God's not going to allow more to occur to you that you can't handle, right? God isn't going to give you more than you can handle. You've heard that before. Well, actually, that verse applies to temptation. That verse in 1 Corinthians says that when we are faced with temptation, that God will not allow us to be tempted beyond that which we are able to endure with his strength. And with the temptation, he will provide a way of escape. The truth is that life does give us more than we can handle, right? Isn't that true? Yes, it's wonderful we have that provision of temptation, you know, that God isn't going to give us more temptation than we can handle. But the fact is that life often sends us problems and difficulties that are more than we can handle. We've all been there, right? That's why Paul said that his strength is made perfect in weakness. And Paul was celebrating his weakness. You know, you look at the life of Job. There's a man who lost his 10 children to a hurricane. His servants and his cattle were stolen and killed by marauders. He even lost his own health. And for 42 chapters in Job, he has more than he can handle. Even his wife said, look, this is more than we can handle. Curse God and die. But it took 42 chapters for Job to work through that process of understanding who God is. What did he say at the end of the chapter? At the end of the book? He says, I knew about you, but now my eyes have seen you. See, that's part of this journey of trial and testing, is get to know God for who he is and learning to depend upon his strength when life gives us more than we can handle. If you can only be happy when the problem turns around, when you have the baby or when your business grows or when you find the right relationship or a series of relationships to sustain you, that's going to delay what God wants to do in your life. You have to put your foot down. You have to draw a line in the sand. And you have to say, no, I'm going to enjoy this day. This pandemic, vaccines, and all the conflicting voices are not going to stop me. They're not going to steal my joy. These challenges, this bad break, God, I know you're on the throne. I trust your timing. I trust your ways. I believe in your love and your provision. In the meantime, I'm going to live my life happy. Now, I know over the last several weeks, I keep referring to Joseph. He's one of my favorite Old Testament Bible heroes. But imagine if Joseph had not learned how to release control. God gave him a dream as a teenager that he would be in leadership and people would bow down before him. Let go, let God. What if he had a preconceived idea of how it was going to happen? Surely someone is going to come to my house like they did to David, anoint me as king, pick me out of a lineup, show me favor, and invite me to step into leadership. Wouldn't that be wonderful? But God does things in unusual ways. He uses adversity and bad breaks and disappointments to move us into our destiny. The trouble looks like a setback, but really, trouble is transportation. Trouble in the hands of God takes us to where he wants us to be. He uses trouble to move you, to position you, to become the right person at the right moment, to accomplish the right things. We think God only uses good breaks, blessings and favor and open doors. We thank God when that happens. We know it's his blessing. But I've learned God uses closed doors just as much as open doors. He uses people that are against us just as much as people that are for us. He uses rejection, betrayal, delays. And what does he do? He uses that to position us for the next stage of our personal growth. We can't see it at the time, and we don't like it. It's uncomfortable, but it's the hand of God ordering our steps. Joseph had his dream. He knew God's favor was on him, but what happened? Betrayed by his brothers, thrown into a pit, sold into slavery, worked in a foreign country, separated from his family, falsely accused, put in prison, one bad break after another. Now, Joseph could have said, God, where are you? What happened to my dream? Why did you let all these people do me wrong? All these bad breaks happen. But Joseph understood this principle. He never complained. He never got bitter. I'm sure there were many lonely nights where he felt abandoned, forgotten. But deep down, he could hear that still small voice telling him, hey, Joseph, I'm still in control. Hang in there. Trust me. I've got you in the palm of my hand. This is all part of your destiny. Now, if he tried to control it instead of letting go and letting God, if he tried to make it happen his way, he would have lived bitter, frustrated. Every day he had to release the worry, release the frustration, release how he thought it would happen. 13 years later, he became the prime minister of Egypt. He saw that dream come to pass. And his brothers came before him. They bowed down to him. And that entire family was restored. And the land of Judah was preserved by Joseph's management of the food resources. But when you study his journey, you see the twists and turns, the delays and detours, and all the disappointments. Isn't that just like life? But isn't that just like our God? Now, Proverbs chapter 20, verse 24 says, since the Lord is directing our steps, why try to understand everything that happens along the way? That's a great verse, isn't it? Are you frustrated because you don't understand something that's happened to you? Are you upset over a bad break, worried because of a delay? Things just aren't working out. How do you know it's not the hand of God leading you to your place of influence? Your place of ministry, your place of service, your place of personal growth. How do you know you're not a Joseph, that you're on course, you're on schedule to see what God has promised? Now, it may not happen like you think, but God uses difficulties to position us for his purposes. What you're upset about is a necessary step. That closed door, or that delay, or the health issues that you're facing, it's instrumental in you reaching your purpose. For he has predestined us, right? According to his good purpose, to be transformed to the likeness of Christ. And transformation just doesn't mean that you glow in the dark. It means that you live out your life as a testimony and you touch others. I look at the answered prayer of people who've been sick in our fellowship, and you can see how they walked right into the shadow of the valley of death, and they didn't fear because they knew that God was with them, and God's presence and his staff, it comforted them. We have such great testimonies. Now, don't try to understand everything that happens along the way. God works in mysterious ways, right? If you're trying to figure everything out, you're going to get confused. There are things you're not supposed to understand. That's what faith is all about. If that adversity was going to stop your destiny, God wouldn't have allowed it. If that disappointment was going to keep you from your purpose, it wouldn't have happened. God is seeing what you're made of. This is your chance to say, like Joseph, God, I trust you even when I don't understand. I'm going to keep being my best even when it's not fair. I'm going to keep giving you praise when I could be complaining. I'm going to keep moving forward when I feel like going backwards. Can you say amen? Now, Luke 22, we read Jesus was about to be crucified. He was on the Mount of Olives praying. Judas came up with a group of soldiers. And when he arrived at the Mount, Judas walked up, and what did he do? He kissed Jesus. That's how the soldiers knew who to arrest. When they went to take Jesus, what happened? Peter pulled out his sword and cut off one of the soldiers' ears. He was ready to fight. You know, I can relate to Peter. He wasn't about to let this go down without opposition, without a fight. The other disciples said to Jesus, Lord, should we fight? We brought our swords. Jesus said in verse 52, don't resist anymore. Don't resist. Let go and let God. He was saying, this is all part of my plan. I can't reach my destiny without Judas kissing me, without this betrayal. I can't rise from the dead. I can't bring salvation without these soldiers arresting me, without me being crucified. We sang those beautiful songs this morning that Rhonda had under the inspiration of the Spirit chosen for us today. And I was just thinking about one of those songs specifically that speaks of Jesus' death, crucifixion, and his resurrection. Now, Jesus could have said, yes, resist, yes, fight them. He could have called down angels from heaven to save him, but he knew the opposition was necessary. That was part of God's plan. It looked like the enemy was in control. The soldiers were getting the upper hand, right? Does that sound familiar in our country today? We get all upset. This is so wrong, you know? And it is. God's still in his throne. Soldiers, they had the upper hand. They took Jesus away. They didn't realize that they were taking him into his destiny. You know, when we face hardships, bad breaks, disappointment, it seems like the enemy's in control. That's when we want to fight. That's when we want to resist and get upset. But God is saying, don't resist anymore. Don't fight it. Let go. Let God. Don't live bitter. Don't try to get even. Trust me, I'm in control. I'm still directing your steps. Don't fight everything that comes your way and live upset, can't sleep at night. The enemy didn't get the upper hand. He didn't somehow get control of your life. God is still on the throne. The betrayal wasn't fair. God didn't stop it because it's leading you into the fulfillment of God's purpose. He's done that in my life. And I'm so humbled by it and so thankful. That suffering had a profound purpose, and it's equipped me to better serve him and to minister to your needs as a family. You didn't like the disappointments. Looks like the enemy is prevailing, like the opposition is holding you back, but you don't know what God is up to. What you can't see is on the other side of that crucifixion. What was on the other side of the crucifixion? It was a resurrection. There has to be a crucifixion before there can be a resurrection. There has to be a death before there can be new life. We portray that in baptism. The death of the old self, the resurrection of the new self. On the other side of the betrayal or the sickness or the disappointment is a new level of spiritual transformation, greater service, more honor to God, more blessing through you to others. Stop resisting. Start resting. Let go. Let God. Sometimes we're trying to play God, straighten everyone out, vindicate ourselves, fix this situation at work. Why don't you release control this morning? Why don't you? God doesn't need our help. He's not looking for some advice, hoping you'll stop these betrayals, keep these bad breaks from happening. No, don't resist anymore. Let him be God. Let him fight your battles. Invite him into those battles. You don't have to fight everything that comes your way. You can't reach your destiny without a kiss from Judas. Don't fight Judas. Kiss him back and move on. You can't become who you were created to be without a Saul being jealous, like with David, or like with Potiphar's wife falsely accusing you, like with Joseph, or like King Nebuchadnezzar throwing you into a fiery furnace, like the Hebrew teenagers, or without a Pharaoh trying to hold you captive, like the Israelites. The good news is the opposition is not in control. they're pawns in the hands of the Most High God. He's ordering your steps. Nothing happens without his permission. These people that were against him, they couldn't help it. Yes, they were making wrong choices, but they were pawns in the hand of God. You have to be mature enough to know when to resist and when not to resist. You're not supposed to fight every battle. God uses betrayals and closed doors and disappointments to move you into your purpose. Don't resist, rest. Don't try to control how it's going to happen. Release control. Be open to what God is doing. Acts chapter 27, Paul was a prisoner on a boat sailing toward Rome. And an angel appeared to him, said he was going to stand before Caesar. So that was his destiny. On the journey, they encountered a huge storm with hurricane force winds. For 14 days, they didn't see the sun or the stars, the text says. They tried their best to steer the ship to try to keep some kind of control. But the winds were too much. Instead of fighting it, trying to force it where they wanted, the scripture says they took down the sails and let the winds blow the ship wherever the storm wanted it to go. Who's controlling the storm, right? Who's directing the ship? When you've done everything you can, you prayed, you believed, you stood in faith, there comes a time when you have to do like them. Quit fighting it. Quit trying to force it to work out. Quit losing sleep and release control. God will not take you someplace where he won't sustain you. How do you release control? It's the three key principles from this text. Very simple, difficult to apply, but very simple to understand. Trust in the Lord, number one. Number two, wait on the Lord. Number three, look for his direction. Quit worrying about how it's going to happen. Quit losing sleep. Quit trying to make it happen your way. Say, God, I trust you. I know you're in control of these winds. They can blow me forward and backwards, left and right. But one thing I'm certain of is this. They're going to take me exactly where I'm supposed to be. Psalm 55:22 says, cast your burdens on the Lord and release the weight of them, and he will sustain you. How many weights are you carrying around this morning? The weight of worry, the weight of what you don't understand, the weight of how am I going to make it through this difficult time? There's something you have to do. God's not going to take the burden away. You have to release the worry, release the frustration, release having to figure it out. Come back to a place of peace. What does the verse say? Be anxious for nothing, but in everything through prayer and petition with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. The right attitude is, God, my life is in your hands. I commit my dreams, my family, my finances, my health to you. I'm not going to fight everything I don't like. I'm not going to live upset when it doesn't go my way. I know you're working all things for my good. God, I trust your timing and I trust your ways. See, when you've believed, you're going to enter into rest. I'm asking you to stop resisting and start resting. Let go and let God. If you will release control, I believe that weights, those weights that have held you down are lifting off you right now. God is about to shift the winds of that storm. And instead of blowing you backwards, it's going to blow you forward. His provision is coming. His healing is coming. Freedom and breakthroughs, favor, the fullness of God's goodness, his provision is coming. And I believe this according to the promises of his word. Father, thank you that you love us so profoundly, so deeply, and you want us to trust you so completely. We commit ourselves to you and the finished work of Jesus this morning. Thank you for your care in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, beloved.